I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
What does that need to look like before you would vote to reopen the government?
Oh,
or is it commitment from the White House and Republicans enough?
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
I mean,
Mr. President, you know, is a very honest man. And if he says something, man, you could take it to the bank.
So you're saying his word is not enough?
Bankruptcy court.
His word? No.
So what do you need to see? What commitments from
I think we need to see ink on paper. I think we need to see legislation. I think we need to see votes. And I think we need to see these things pass on the floor of the House and the Senate and signed by President Trump. I don't accept IOUs. I don't accept pinky promises. That's not the business that I'm in.
Yeah, what business are you in? You're involved in shutting down the government. You're scaring Chucky Schumer. But she says, I'm not doing that. That's a farce. Well, we'll break it down for you because that's exactly what's happening. But she wants you to believe, I'm not pulling Chuck's strings, nor am I threatening to kick him to the curb. Right. That woman would walk over Chuck Schumer as fast as she could if he fell down. Believe me. Welcome to hour number two, Larry Connors USA. We're here every Monday through Friday for you from 6 to 8 p.m. When we're on the air, we are streaming video. You can watch the program live. How do you do that? Well, you do it by going to Larry Connors USA Rumble, Facebook, or Twitter. Or you do it by going to News Talk STL, Facebook, Rumble, or Twitter. And reminding you that after we finish each program, we do put it up as a podcast. Available at News Talk STL. LarryConnorsUSA.com and Larry Connors USA Facebook. And reminding you, if you have a phone in your hand, you can listen from anywhere. Anywhere. One of our advertisers, Renewal by Anderson, their chief brand sales manager is currently somewhere in Italy, Monaco, wherever. And I reminded him, I said, you know, you can hear the program from there. Hear your great spots right there. Right there in Italy. Get all the Italians involved in listening. And with Larry Connors USA, you have news, analysis, opinion, and education. You're going to leave every hour with more knowledge and information than you have right now. I will promise you that. And we've got a lot more information to add what we presented in the first hour. Some things are repeated, but some need to be repeated. And in some cases, I just can't put it all in 1 hour, so it has to carry over. I have to tell you that when I finish each day, I look at the fact that with Jerome's help, we have hit at least a single. That's the minimum. That's our standard minimum. Maybe a double, a triple, and many are grand slams. Feel really good about when we walk away. And others, I think back, and this is not Jerome's fault. It'd be me. I think I didn't do that exactly the way I wanted to. So I'm going to try harder. We're going to try harder all the time. Such as somebody who needs to try a little harder would be Bernie Sanders. Because back in 2013, right now while he's blaming Trump for all the shutdown and saying Republicans are wrong. Back in 2013, again, at that point, it was the Democrats behind it. And he was even calling out Chuck Schumer, talking about how disastrous a shutdown in 2013 was.
The truth is that shutting down the government is a serious and dangerous action that we must do everything possible to prevent. Shutting down the government would impact tens of millions of our fellow Americans who would be unable to access government services. It would severely impact federal employees who would not get the paychecks they expected. It would also have a very significant impact on our armed forces. In other words, we must do everything that we can to prevent a government shutdown.
Yeah, that all makes sense. And of course, at that time, they were trying to blame the Republicans. And it worked. It got the Republicans to buckle down, basically bend their knee to them. But he was also blaming in part at that time Schumer, not directly, but you read between the lines, it was. Barack Obama was president at that time. Now, speaking about where we are now, yeah, it would hurt our troops. But Trump's made it very clear, and Secretary of War Hegseth, working with other members of the administration, have found the money to make sure our troops do not miss a single payday and other true essential workers. In that 2013 shutdown, something like 800,000 federal employees were indefinitely furloughed. Another 1.3 million still had to show up for work, but they didn't know when they would ever get their money. How would you like that? We want you to come to work. Am I going to get a check this time? Can't really guarantee that's going to happen. In the Trump administration, the first term, we had a shutdown lasting 35 days, December 22nd, 2018, through January 25, 2019, right through the Christmas and into the New Year. 35 days, the longest shutdown in U.S. history. The second and final government shutdown involving furloughs during the first presidency of Donald Trump. So for those out there who want to say, hey, he's back in power and he's doing it again, he's made every concession they can. But riddle me this. Are you willing to have the government reopen and everybody come back with $5 billion attached to your tax bill that will pay for everything from feminizing women in Bangkok or something like that to watching out for the desert locust or something? Really? All right, updating where we stand right now with the Middle East. A key part was, of course, to return all living hostages, which they did, but there is also part of the plan that we want all bodies to return. And Trey Yinks picks up the story.
After releasing the bodies of two additional hostages overnight, Hamas says it has released all of the remains that it can locate. This means there are still 19 hostage bodies unaccounted for inside Gaza. The group says that significant efforts and specialized equipment are needed to locate the others. U.S. officials saying Hamas is not in violation of the agreement and that phase two will move forward as planned. Part of that next phase will include an international stabilization force that has oversight from the U.S. military. Military, but not American boots on the ground to participate.
No reason for the U.S. military to get involved in Gaza.
No, I don't see that. No, I think we're going to handle it very well. We'll be helping Israel, but we have other countries that are now. You know, we signed, many countries signed, and many of those countries relatively are very strong military powers. And Hamas has no support. See, Hamas had the support of Iran, and now Iran says, don't get us involved.
Stay away. We don't want to be hit again by Israel. We don't want to be involved in anything at this point. Hamas was one of their biggest terrorist proxy groups. And they're decimated now. As I've been pointing out in the commentary today, they're really, not today, yesterday, that we still really don't have peace inside Gaza because Hamas militants still trying to control Gaza, and they're going after, they figure, folks who were sympathetic to the Jewish cause and basically sympathetic to saving their lives, so they're going out to kill them. And they're going after various Klan members throughout Gaza and the Strip because they fear that they will try to get control and then Hamas will really be cut out. But every killing that's happening right now in Gaza is not involving Israelis. It's Hamas killing innocent civilians, in some cases, killing members of clans or families they fear might try to kill them, or members of those clans killing Hamas members. This is a generational war. And the blood spilled continues. Now, what about the peace plan? And part of it involving getting the bodies back. Retired four-star general Jack King.
I mean, it really is challenging. Certainly getting Hamas to release all the hostages as to a partial release, that was a major deal in itself. But the second phase is considerably more challenging for a couple of reasons. The primary one is Hamas, to make the deal, said that yes, they would disarm, yes, they would give up governance. But also, at the press conference in the White House, when the deal was announced, the president made a statement that if Hamas reneged on disarming, then he would permit the IDF, ordered by Prime Minister Netanyahu, to go back in and finish it. I think the International Stabilization Force would try to do that first. But for our audience to understand, peace enforcement forces only work when both sides are cooperating. There's been a UN peace enforcement force in Lebanon for two decades, and Hezbollah's moved south every single year to do something against Israel, and they've never stopped.
I want to share a little light point with you from the Babylonian Bee. I covered some of this in the preceding hour. This was called to my attention by my boots on the ground in Chicago, Andrew. Thank you, sir. But I've got so many things coming at me. I'm trying to drink out of a fire hose doesn't even begin to describe it. But I had overlooked this. I'm glad he pulled it up. Babylonian Bee, satire. None of this is real, but it sounds like the way they do things, it would probably be true in their mind. Trump's Gaza peace deal. MSNBC said, this is, again, a fake title. Trump's dangerous peace plan hands Gaza over to homophobic extremists. NPR, Greta Thunberg achieves peace in the Middle East. Good Lord. One American News stating, again, according to Babylonian Bee, Trump surpasses Jesus as the greatest peacemaker of all time. BuzzFeed, we tried 28 different kinds of Gaza humanitarian aid, food, and it tanked from worst to best. Did it? CNN. Fascist dictator Trump. A fascist dictator Trump. Trump is a guy who just signed a peace deal making the world safer for millions of Jews. But the way CNN, according to Babylonian Bee, would do their headline, fascist dictator Trump unilaterally forced his peace on Gaza. That's a good dictator, right? BBC, multiple people stabbed in London. ESPN, top WNBA stars react to Trump's ceasefire deal. Yeah, that would be something that would be really interesting to me. Daily Wire. This ceasefire brought to you by ExpressVPN. The New York Post. Come on, baby. Light my ceasefire. They're humorous. And again, it's Babylonian Bee. It's farce. And yet it has at its center some of those news organizations, quote, news organizations, are not too far off of that kind of foolish statement on some of the things they do. One of the big deals facing us right now, Zelensky is coming to Trump again. And he wants Tomahawk missiles that could reach deep inside Russia. And there's a legitimate reason for questioning them and wanting them and how much he might. And Trump has indicated If Putin does not bring this to an end, I might well do that. General Jack King again explaining where Russia stands. And that begins with Putin the liar.
Putin is saying that's an escalation. That's another false statement. This guy has made one false statement after another. In 22, Putin began to fire hypersonic ballistic missiles against Ukraine, largely civilian targets. He's been firing air-launched and sea-launched cruise missiles against civilian targets and energy infrastructure for the last two-plus years, in addition to those 500 to 600 drones a night that you're seeing there. He's the guy that escalated. All of his targets are largely civilian targets. If the Ukrainians get the Tomahawk missiles, what are they going to use them for? Their number one target will be the Albuluga Manufacturing Center for Shahed missiles built by Ukraine. 20,000 North Koreans are there at that manufacturing center, Brett. It's out of the range of everything they have right now. That'll be target one, but they'll all be military targets. Ukraine is not going to target civilian targets. And what Putin is trying to do with President Trump is the same thing he successfully did with Biden. Threaten escalation if you do X, and there'll be something to come against you as a result of it. And he won that bluff with Biden time and time again.
Time and time again. And keep in mind, Putin even said the other day, well, back when he met Trump in Alaska, if you'd been president, we would not have gone into Ukraine. Now, he could be playing to Trump's ego, playing to the report that Biden basically let it happen because Obama did. Remember, Russia took over Crimea during the Obama years. And what did we do? What did Obama do to help? Sent blankets. So we basically said, okay, you can have it. So then they decide, now we got Biden's surrogate, dumb Biden right behind him, coming in after 4 years of Trump, and we had to knuckle back down, and now they're back in-house, so let's go continue. And they did. So whether or not Putin meant it when he said, you know, if you'd been in office, we would not have done this, I think truly it's a fact. They would not have done it. What do you think? Coming up, Ketanji Brown Jackson. Let me rephrase that. Liberal Supreme Court Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson commenting, Americans, black Americans are disabled when it comes to voting. What? Lock and load, ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
I want to tell you more about Wellington Environmental's dustless blasting services. Wellington can blast paint, grease, graffiti, even stripes off parking lots. Truly amazing and powerful. But can Wellington blast something more sensitive? Yes, Wellington can use dry ice to blast soot and odors off smoke-damaged surfaces right after a fire. Currently, Wellington uses dry ice to clean mold off wood inside a home. Why? Well, dry ice immediately disappears, turns into a vapor. That means no mess to clean up, no damaged surfaces. You need to check with Wellington, always researching and practicing with new, better, faster, safer equipment and products for you. And it's very easy to schedule an estimator for your next project. Call Cindy, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Be well with Wellington. McGuire Moving is silver certified, which means they are great at relocating senior citizens. In fact, McGuire is a household name because McGuire understands the stress involved when moving older adults. So if you or family members need help moving, I highly recommend McGuire Moving. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. Get a free in-home estimate. McGuireMoving.com. Another day must be another roofer in town. And John, Bill and I were talking. You said, you know, every time you turn around, there's a new roofing company. Many of them have no idea what they're doing. And the statistics show that many will be out of business within 2 to 5 years. Who are you going to call to help you then? You need to remember only one name, John Bill. John Bill Roofing. You have a problem, he can take care of it. And we'll be here for you. John Bill Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. Back pain? Follow me to Esquire Sports Medicine, where they've got your back. Esquire is the oldest sports medicine clinic in St. Louis. Dr. Draghi and his team of chiropractors can get you back to work, back to life, without the pain. New patients usually scheduled within 24 hours. 314-644-0885. 644-0885. EsquireSportsMedicine.com.
This is News Talk STL.
There's 1,000 miles in 18 hours. I got a double drive down southbound 35. I got the hammer down, Detroit made, 525 pushing my ass right down that line. And that smell of burning diesel fuel just tells me that I'm back out on.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
I guess I'm thinking of it, of the fact that remedial action, absent discriminatory intent, is really not a new idea in the civil rights laws. And my kind of paradigmatic example of this is something like the ADA. Congress passed the Americans with Disabilities Act against the backdrop of a world that was generally not accessible to people with disabilities. And so it was discriminatory in effect because these folks were not able to access these buildings. And it didn't matter whether the person who built the building or the person who owned the building intended for them to be exclusionary. That's irrelevant.
That is Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson. Now, you might think she's talking about protection for handicapped people. Well, she absolutely set them on edge with those remarks. The Americans Disability Group, absolutely all over her because of those remarks. What did she say? What was the issue? She was arguing that just as we had to have building ramps, street ramps, things of that prepared for the handicap, which certainly we're glad to have, the American Disabilities Act, she's claiming that black voters also faced disabilities. You want to explain that to me? No, you can't do that. You can't do that because it's a lie. It's just another fabrication. It's using the race card again, basically trying to say black, not only could blacks not to be smart enough to get a ID, but they can also not be smart enough to figure out how to get up the steps to go vote. Now, if they're handicapped and they're trying to get into a voting poll area, a voting booth, and they need help, well, then that, yes, we have to do that. But that's not what she was arguing. And that is why she has absolutely upset the American Disabilities Group, because they say you have really taken things out of context. And she has. You want more details? Oh, well, I'm glad you asked. I have it for you because she is arguing right here. Reference the Voting Rights Act is equivalent race-based districting, redistricting that's underway now, gerrymandering, however you want to call it, but basically redistricting will again make black voters, handicapped black voters, I don't mean they are physically handicapped or mentally, it's just will prevent them from being to vote. I agree. I get mixed up in it. trying to understand it. Let's go back to her and see if she can clarify anything.
Congress said the facilities have to be made equally open to people with disabilities if readily possible. I guess I don't understand why that's not what's happening here. The idea in Section 2 is that we are responding to current day manifestations of past and present decisions that disadvantage minorities and make it so that they don't have equal access to the voting system, right? They're disabled. In fact, we use the word disabled in Milligan. We say that's a way in which you see that these processes are not equally open.
Let me take a moment to repeat her statement, because I know you can get lost in somebody as you're listening to it. She is saying that she's speaking specifically, questioning a lawyer representing Louisiana voters who argued that court-ordered creation of a second majority black district in the state would violate the 14th Amendment. That was the argument before the court. And she said, that majority opinion in the 2023 Supreme Court ruling, which found that Alabama unlawfully diluted the voting power of black people in that state, used the word disabled to describe voters subjected to processes that are not equally open. And she says, what Congress is saying, as if that is happening, Section 2 gives us the tools to determine you've got to fix it. When Congress passed the Americans with Disabilities Act, it was dealing with a situation that a lot of buildings, federal courthouses as well, and state facilities were not accessible to folks with a wheelchair or in any other way. But the issue here now has gotten way beyond that. The Americans for Disability now coming forward and saying, you are taking what is a true legitimate disability when you refer to disabled, and you're basically mocking it. And that is exactly what she's doing. She wants to tie it to race and race only. But that's not the story. It's amazing how this woman, as now a Supreme Court justice, of course, who cannot even describe what a woman is claiming now that black voters are being handicapped because they're disabled. Jackson did acknowledge when she got pressed, it's not race-based. I take your point. But you're saying then that the problem of no access is about race. It's just too bad because you can't have a remedy that relates to race. Can you throw the word race out and just deal with the fact? She can't. By the way, there's another issue from the Supreme Court. There was an Idaho trans athlete trying to have the potential landmark SCOTUS case dropped. This is the legal defense trying to save women's sports, and they scored a big win in that Supreme Court battle over transgenders. Again, that was that Idaho trans athlete trying to have that whole case drop. A federal judge struck down the attempt to dismiss it and ruled the case should proceed. This case now, after going through the Ninth Circuit, which upheld an injunction blocking the state before the Supreme Court's court agreed to hear the case back in July, again was trying to push it back. The defense team, led by the Idaho Attorney General and the Alliance Defending Freedom Act, said all of this is an attempt to just step over true civil rights, pointing out from day one in office, defending the law has been a top priority because Idaho's daughters deserve fair competition based on biological reality. The district court ruled that after years of litigation, Idaho has the right to present our case to the nation's highest court. That keeps our lawsuit alive, and I will not stop until women and girls are safe to participate and excel in competitive sports. SCOTUS, of course, still trying to decide where we're going, but what they have done at this point is hand a effort to save women's sports. The defense is, of course, going to be looking for a bigger outcome, not just on the particular athlete, but broader. Everyone's watching. Attorneys general from 27 states and the U.S. territory Guam have signed on in support of the upcoming SCOTUS case to look at it in its entirety. The justices are bound to, supposedly, follow the Constitution, look at the rule of law, not what is fairness in a sports game. But the left has been trying to redefine, rewrite the Constitution from inside out and attacking it from all sides, putting their own verbiage in to make it appear it is constitutional when it's not. And beyond that, just the very fact that an 18-year-old man can appear in a junior varsity volleyball game and knock the hell out of a 14-year-old girl, that should be an obvious call to action that that's wrong. We don't even need to debate it in court. I will remind you, as much as I hate to bring it up again, if Biden had stayed in and won, or if Kamala had won, how far down the road would we be going now? It is frightening. And, of course, do not forget all the illegals who would be sucking off the government teat, taking your money, and while the Democrats are saying, you're not helping the poor Americans, well, you are taking the money from real Americans and giving it to illegals. No, we're not done. We got another segment to go. You don't want to go anywhere. Sit down right where you are. Do not touch that dial.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
We welcome Tom Shaw Realtors, selling, buying, leasing property all over Missouri, almost 100 years. Call Tom, 314-283-5064, ShawRealtors.com. Hey, looking for windows that solve your problems and actually add value to your home? Renewal by Anderson. Anderson products increase your home value by at least 15%. Right now, get $329 off every window, $729 off every patio or entry door, and ask about our zero interest plan for 3 years. Renewal by Anderson, the full-service replacement division of Anderson. That's a name you've trusted for more than 122 years. Renewal by Anderson has FiberX frames, 20% stronger than vinyl, built to last. It's why we have more 5-star reviews than anyone in St. Louis. And only Renewal by Anderson backs it up with the nation's best warranty. Schedule your complimentary consultation, rbastl.com, or call 877-WINDOWS, 877-WINDOWS. Renewal by Anderson, superior products, exceptional service. Back pain? Follow me to Esquire Sports Medicine, where they've got your back. Esquire is the oldest sports medicine clinic in St. Louis. Dr. Draghi and his team of chiropractors can get you back to work, back to life without the pain. New patients usually scheduled within 24 hours. 314-644-0885. 644-0885. EsquireSportsMedicine.com. LeslieConsulting.com.
This is News Talk STL.
I don't need the pills you take. moving. Brother, I ain't slept in days, all without the drugs using. Fed me for the builder's use, use me for the Great Commission. As it was and always will, as it is, I'm here to witness. Old time screaming and shouting, grow up, tell it on the mountain. Faith too strong to be left.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Democrats' proposal would require Medicaid to pay more for emergency care provided to illegal aliens than Medicaid does for American patients who are disabled, elderly, or children. And this bill would have also allowed California to continue a gimmick that funds its Medicaid for Illegals program. Those are things that we ended, the Trump administration ended, with the passage and the signage of the One Big Beautiful Bill. And it is an undisputed fact. A fact that under the Biden administration, illegal aliens were absolutely receiving taxpayer-funded health care benefits. In fact, in fiscal year 2024, Medicaid costs for emergency services for illegal immigrants skyrocketed by 142% from the previous year to $9.1 billion. That's $9.1 billion taxpayer dollars that were going to emergency services for illegals. Between President Trump's last full fiscal year under his first administration and Joe Biden's last full fiscal year, Medicaid spending on emergency services for illegal immigrants nearly tripled. There was an increase of 196% between 2020 and 2024. And I have a chart here for you, and I'm more than happy to email it to you.
White House spokeswoman Carolyn Leavitt pointing out that how much of your money the Democrats are willing to take and give to illegals. $9 billion plus. Do you not think the American people could use that $9 billion? Now, again, if the illegals are already in our country, I don't want them to starve. I don't want them to be unsheltered. But we have a lot of homeless people already unsheltered. And we have vets who have been denied and kicked out of places to make room for illegals. No one in this country should go to bed hungry, even if you're illegal. No one should go to bed at night without a shelter over their head, even if you're illegal. But how are you going to achieve that? Well, right now, the leftist attitude is, take it from Americans, real Americans. It's a Jesse James bank holdup, and nobody is standing between you and Jesse James, except for Larry Connors, USA, and all our other conservative programs right here on News Talk STL. And all the others that exist around the nation. And you. When Carolyn Leavitt points out how much they are willing to steal out of your pocket to give to those who should not even be in this country, you begin to get the idea. You already know it. I know I'm preaching to the choir many times. But I think sometimes you got to reinforce it. I do it also so you can arm yourself to argue against those civilly. You were off the rocker, not understanding what's happening. Oh, we all want to be lovable and generous and everything else. Go hug a tree. Come on. But too many people buy in, eyes wide shut, ears wide open, and nothing inside the head that can discern what's fact and what's fiction. And if they're getting it from one of their favorites that they trust truly, like a Whoopi Goldberg, oh, that's the gospel. That's the gospel. Some of you might remember when LBJ, Lyndon Baines Johnson, was president. He did something which got so much national outrage. And this was before the advance of all the technology we have here. What did he do, Larry? Oh, I'm glad you asked. He had some beagle puppies, and he picked one up by the ears, picking up the puppy by the ears, and all the pet lovers went, you can't do that. That's hurting the puppies. And the White House press corps was getting a picture of it. and many of them at that time were not crazy left like they are now, but they could catch quickly the wind blowing through, and that was LBJ should not be picking up puppies by their ears. It might hurt them. At least that was the statement going around. There were some pet doctors who came out and said, it's not going to harm them that much. I mean, others said, well, it could. Bottom line is, he did it. And you didn't have all this flood of challenging to him. It was already done. Although it stayed in the news for a while, it's in the news cycle. Is that the worst thing LBJ did? No. But it caught everybody's attention. It changed many minds about him. I thought he was a sensitive, nice guy. Others say it reassured me. He's exactly what I thought. He's one of those roughshod Texans. Those Texans. I can't use a word I want to use, but Texans. Which, by the way, when he was running against Goldwater, I was in high school. And a good friend of mine was representing the LBJ movement in the high school and had most everybody in the high school following her. I was representing Goldwater, and I didn't have too many people behind me. And I chose Goldwater, not against LBJ as a Texan, but because I thought Goldwater made more sense in my basic naive mind. But things that happened then and the way something can happen, can you imagine if Trump did that right now with puppies? I think even some of the MAGA movement would be yelling at him. I do. This is a different world, a different time, and yet we continue. But taking dollars that belong to Americans and giving them to illegals, that's wrong. And it is hurting Americans a lot more and a lot more concerning than picking up puppy dogs by their ears. Carolyn Leavitt points out that there are laws on the books where they should not be getting these monies.
I'd also like to add, because some were asking dishonest questions yesterday about emergency rooms. In Southern California, according to healthcare professionals in 2023 under the Biden administration, Southern California's, quote, entire healthcare system was being bombarded with illegal immigrants and forcing American patients to endure longer wait times. In Denver, Colorado, the CEO of Denver Health stated that 8,000 illegal immigrants made 20,000 visits to the city's health system in 2023. Leaving an uncompensated bill totaling over $10 million. So when a legal alien goes to the emergency room, who's paying for it? The American taxpayer. The main safety net hospital in Denver had to turn away patients due to the massive influx of illegal immigrants into the community. And UC Health Hospitals in 2024 reported their system was under stress from an increasing number of migrants. As a result, according to the head of emergency departments and urgent cares across the hospital system, quote, access is impeded for everyone. These are healthcare professionals who dealt with this directly, and there's a lot more where that came from. It is an undisputed fact that Democrats want to give taxpayer-funded healthcare benefits to illegal immigrants, period.
Period. And they do, I mean, she's right, it's undisputed fact. They have been doing that, and they would continue doing that. If only you would just close your eyes and walk away. But we're not going to do that. By the way, there are still many out there that believe that Trump is anti-Brown. That's why he's against illegal immigrants. Many of the illegal immigrants that have come across are Brown. There are many white. There are many black. Well, he's against them, too. He's against illegal. Do you catch that word? Every time you hear a leftist legacy-type media talking about immigrants, don't just let them pass them off as immigrants. They are illegal immigrants. Those that came to our country through Ellis Island were legal immigrants. Those that come across now, when we exercise our quota to bring in more immigrants, we're not keeping people from coming here. We just want them to be able to provide and do something, and we want them to come correctly. And, of course, the issue we have now is they are embedded, the illegals are so embedded in the rest of the minority population, you can't simply pry them out. And even if they are guilty of a crime, unless you get something really solid on them, you got to do sweeps, maybe catch them at a baseball game or something. I don't like that, I will agree, because you also are rounding up illegals that have been doing nothing wrong. They've been living here in the shadows, and they've been getting by. They haven't hurt anyone. They're abiding by our laws. They have, quote, assimilated into our populace, but they're still illegal. We do need to have some reform in that area. I'll be the first to agree with it. But you begin by, as Trump has done, shut the border. 0% crossings recently. 0, 0, 0. Shut the border, which he's done. And then you begin to get the worst of the worst out. But sometimes the worst of the worst are hiding in the midst of the illegals that are doing no harm to anyone. If only the illegals would glow in the dark, those that have committed crimes, then we could just go that direction. But for those who believe that Trump hates brown-skinned people, the White House spokeswoman Karen Leavitt said, get ready for a big Hispanic party.
Bianca Gracia here, and I have a question. This week, the Democrats have chosen illegals over hard-working Hispanic Americans during Hispanic Heritage Month, causing the White House to cancel the celebration with the president. Is the president open to letting the Hispanics, who overwhelmingly voted for him, have their own siesta fiesta in the White House lawn, opposed to the fancy, you know, we don't need fancy schmancy, right? You can give us the backyard and we'll fill it all in and have in our own fiesta. Is the president open to that?
I had no idea she was going to ask that question. I just want to preface that. I've never met you. I just want to say that, but welcome to the briefing room. I love your energy. I can't personally unilaterally promise the South Lawn grounds. We have some construction going on out there, but I do think, I know that everyone here views it as very unfortunate we had to cancel or hopefully just reschedule the Hispanic American Heritage Month event, and it's because we are working around the clock during this government shutdown. When the Democrats vote to reopen the government, that event will be back in the planning stages.
Yeah, the Hispanic party will be back on at the White House lawn. That doesn't say I hate brown people, does it? I often make fun of Trump in the way he talks, and that he says something and then repeats himself four or five times. And I keep thinking, you need to edit that. Somebody needs to pull him aside. Oh, yeah, right, Larry. Somebody's going to pull Trump aside and give him these instructions. Well, it should happen. And there's a comedian that did a great job, and of course referring in part to how Trump would just duplicate his words over and over again. And he did a good job with it. Comedian Shane Gillis.
You don't have to sound like him. All you have to do is, like, get his cadence down. It's very easy. All you have to do is, like, describe something and then say you described it that way. That's it. It's every time. Like, what a big room this is. I walked in here. I said, wow, what a big room. Austin. A lot of homeless. I walked in here, I said, wow, that's a lot of homeless.
He nailed it, didn't he? I mean, Trump does do stuff like that. I'm making fun of Trump. That bother you? Well, I'm sorry. I'm going to do it anyway. Have. It's done. It's on its way to Mars. We can't laugh at ourselves. Come on. Would Trump be happy that did it? I don't know. And the other part of that is, on that very point, I don't care. we have so many people in so much angst and anger right now. We need to find a little levity and go back to something like that. They even found a way to have some levity, some laughs at the Charlie Kirk Memorial the other day as he was presented our nation's highest civilian order by President Trump posthumously. When Erica said that Charlie loved everyone, even his friends, and Trump said, well, that doesn't sound like the Charlie I know. She said, no, Mr. President, he prayed for everyone. Even I said his friends, even his enemies, prayed for his enemies. She said he did not do it in public, but I can attest to the fact that he did. And of course, there's some applause and laughter at the same time. Find joy. What'd you learn this hour? Class back in section at 6 tomorrow. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.
You can follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.